Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Chatter for Change. I'm Preston, joined alongside in the booth with Lily. And how are you doing today, Lily?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. For the first time, we've got Miles on the show. How are you doing, Miles?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking.
Good.
So what brought you here to True Blue? What got you in here, and how long have you been doing this?
So I've probably been in Youth Council in True Blue, I'd say right around 4 years now. And it kind of appealed to me seeing all the negative effects that drug, alcohol, and tobacco have in our community. I kind of wanted to be the person who can make a change and take initiative in that direction. So joining Youth Council in 8th grade, I found over the past couple of years, I've been able to make lots of change and help reverse those effects and education in the community. And I think my place in the organization still holds true today to do the same thing.
Oh, wow. That's a good answer. So along with you guys, we have a very special guest that has known all of us for a very long time. None other than Mr. Hankins. How are you doing today, Mr. Hankins?
I'm doing good. Thank you all for having me.
Oh, absolutely. So we've got a few questions for you, and I'm just going to let you guys go ahead and ask him some questions, because I know that y'all already have some. So
you graduated from Webster County High School. So what are some things that you have seen change since you were a student?
So starting with some of the most basic is that a lot of people that I went to school with would agree on is just the physical changes of the school. The layout is much different. Y'all probably wouldn't remember, but Miss Bumpus would. It all started changing back in like 2004 when a tornado took out part of the building, and then some construction that took place on the building, and then the middle school being added to the campus, and then more construction taking place on front of the building. So that's kind of at face value, just the physical changes, but also some changes in the school environment itself. As it would impact you guys as students, it was a little different when I was there in that we were on block scheduling. And you guys have probably never operated on that, to where you have classes until Christmas and then switch, and then you have a whole new set for the spring semester. Just behavior-wise, some things obviously that are different as well. We didn't have – so one big one that we did not have when I was in high school, this is going to date me. Y'all are going to think we're dinosaurs in this, but we didn't have social media. And believe it or not, that kind of has an impact on the high school students and the things maybe that administrators have to deal with on the school campus. And, so those are just some of the major changes that I would say that we had. And so also with you guys being the True Blue crew as well, we didn't have vaping and juuling and e-cigs and things like that. That was a kind of a big change as a whole, that's not only specific to high school students, but it did make for a large change in the high school environment for students.
Right.
So those are some of the major things that I would say, that are changed from when I was there to now.
So specifically focusing on the areas of drug, alcohol, and tobacco, you've had many different perspectives at your time at WCHS. How do you think the problem has increased? How do you think the problem has changed?
I think, and Ms. Bumpus and I have had several conversations with this over the years too, because both of us worked very heavily and very closely with youth and leadership development and things like that. And I feel like in some areas, I think we've made major strides and reduced a lot of that. But it's kind of like, fighting a bunch of little fires. You get one stamped out and you feel like you're doing good in that area, and then something else flares up in another area. So years ago when Ms. Bumpus was still at the high school and we worked together, we weren't having conversations about vaping, juuling, e-cigs, anything like that. We were having totally different conversations. And so, like I said, I think just as time goes on and things evolve, you see kind of a lot of ebbs and flows and changes in certain areas. I like to think that we've seen a reduction in the alcohol use based on some surveys and things like that, that we had a lot of conversations about when we worked together. But like I said, as far as, lumping in things like tobacco and including those e-cigs, that has kind of become maybe, I don't know that we've made a great reduction in that yet, but we still continue to try that, on a daily basis as best we can.
And that's something that we as youth really are always working towards, to always just try to make that change.
Yes. And that speaks to You know, the most success we've had over our years recently, you know, since I've been in administration, is youth that want to see that change and maybe get frustrated with some of the same issues that we do as adults. You know, making us aware of things, you know, and bringing concerns to us. And so that helps us a great deal because we're not out to just make a school experience miserable for our students. It's actually quite contrary to that. You know, I'm one of those people that I had a great high school experience at Webster County High School, and I hope that's something that, that has not changed. We talked about things that changed, but I hope that's something that has not changed, is the quality and experience of the high school atmosphere for our students. And so while I had a great high school experience, you know, enjoyed it, did a lot of different things, involved in a lot of different aspects and things like that. You know, that's what we want that school experience to be like for you guys as students and for everybody else, those that we've had and those that we've yet to have that are coming. You know, we want our students to have a good experience. We want it to be a positive place. We want it to be a place that students look back on and reflect on, and it brings a smile to your face and not frustrations to your mind. You know, so that's something that we continue to work on with any decision that we make, any major decision. You know, and obviously, as you guys are well aware, we've had to make a lot of decisions that impact students over the past couple of years throughout the pandemic. And so I can tell you that you guys are always in the forefront of our minds when we're making those decisions. You know, and although they may not be well received by everyone, and you know, there's the frustrations of not being able to do things that we've always done, we, you know, we definitely try to keep you guys in mind when making those decisions. It's not just about those decisions, you know, on the adult perspective. It's also about what's this going to be like for students. So, and that's one thing that we've recently done. I don't know if you guys have completed that yet, but our students were all given a survey recently that said, tell us what it's like to be a student during the pandemic. What are some things that have gone well that we've done as a school? What are some things that we may need to change? What are some things that we may have blindly stumbled upon that we may want to keep doing, you know, as a school? So if you've not done that yet, complete that survey.
Well, it's funny you mention the whole ESIG aspect of being at school. You know, for me, there's nothing more annoying than going in a bathroom and just seeing like five people just just taking I don't know how many hits of those e-cigs. And, you know, I think that really dampers my experience. And believe me, I will be the first one to give you a transcript of every person I have ever seen with an e-cig during my day. Like, I don't know why. There's just nothing more annoying. I don't care how much I battle with a teacher, whether over an assignment or something. There's just something that will never go past that annoyance. Because, you know, once you get that scent, it's just like that's all you can smell. And then, you know, it's just, like I said, it's just annoying.
Well, and that's one of those things that has changed, but it really hasn't changed. So it's just different.
Right.
So it was the same when Miss Bumpus was there or when I was there, and you walk in and you talk about the smell of an e-cig. Well, imagine cigarette smoke. A lot of people didn't love walking into that environment either. So, I mean, it's just something that's kind of changed over time. Some things change, some things stay the same, but, you know, it's just kind of a different product.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I will say this. I think compared to cigarette smoke, because, you know, as much as my father and I race, you know, we smell a lot of that. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but I would say that cigarette smoke would definitely be more annoying, especially in a condensed space. But yeah, definitely like what you said, it feels like the game has definitely changed, because I could feel the transition freshman, sophomore year when more and more people started to do that. And, you know, I think especially because more people did it, we've had to focus on that a lot more.
Well, and that's, you know, we talked about Lily's first question, asked me what it was different. And I said, you know, kind of that on the cuff, obvious answer of the layout of the difference the same or very different. So one thing to just imagine is, you know, now you have those open entrances as well. Like, and Miss Bumpus may remember this, but in the, like, there were some days when, well, not some days, every day we had doors that closed on the bathrooms, kind of like the ones in the main hall do now. Mm-hmm. But like you would walk into a bathroom and it was just a fog, like just stout wall of smoke in there. And you talk about smelling something. Like I said, I would come back and teachers would ask me if I had been smoking in the bathroom.
No.
Because it's the smell laid on you so
bad. Oh, wow.
And now, granted, I'm not saying I never smoked, but I'm saying I did not smoke in the bathroom. You know, I was too scared to get caught. Because my parents would not have been okay with that.
Yeah, I can. Oh man, that is a crazy thought to me. Mm-hmm. The thought that you could be completely minding your own business and you could walk back and have that stench and have something pinned on you. Because mm-hmm. knowing my luck, that's exactly what would happen.
Yeah, well, and I didn't have the best reputation that would make them immediately think, oh, no, he wouldn't have been doing that.
Right. You know,
I may have not been the most ideal student in my day.
So, while we're on the topic of e-cigs and tobacco, over the last few years, Webster County has shifted to keeping drugs and tobacco off of our campuses and during our games. What has been the biggest positive impact of that?
I think it's just more of a positive experience for everyone as a whole. Now, it may negatively impact people, you know, that are your smokers or e-cig users, you know, because they've even asked them not to use those products, the adults at the games either. So, you know, it may negatively impact those, and there may be some frustration from those people, but I think even they are understanding of the fact of, you know, it's about the environment for everyone,
right,
and not just the specific interest of a few. And so, you know, we're not trying to tell everyone that they can't smoke. We're just telling people that they can't smoke while they're there. Mm. And so, you know, for that couple hours of whatever the athletic event or school event may be, you know, we just ask while we're there that we follow the, you know, the policies that our school district has set.
Right.
You know, to, like I said, make a good, because nationally that became a big push, you know, 15 plus years ago about the negative impacts of secondhand smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that is one way that we, and interesting little side note here, but my wife went to master's program in St. Louis, and she's got a degree in public health. So mm-hmm. she worked in St. Louis for the Tobacco Prevention Center, which they did a lot of work with student groups, you know, to go around and spread the news about, you know, the harmful effects. And they had the pig lungs, you know, the one of the smoker and the one of the non-smoker. And you try to hit the little pedal thing with your foot to inflate those lungs, and the smoker's lungs are jacked up and won't work. So, you know, I was very familiar with all of that type of data and research and things like that because, you know, she was involved with that. And so I think just because of that national push, it's not like something Webster County High School just did. You know, I think everybody kind of understands the point behind saying, hey, while we're at this school function with women, children, moms, dads, you know, kids, whoever,
mm-hmm.
You know, asking them not to do that while they're there on campus.
Right. And you know, from my perspective, you know, I would try to go to a lot of basketball games. Of course, that's pre-pandemic, right?
Yeah, sorry about that. We would love to have all of you there at those games, trust me.
But you know, if I'm in a closed, you know, kind of like those bathrooms, if I'm in a closed space like a gym, I certainly do not want me or any of my family members, you know, smelling any of that smoke, or, you know, cuz that just, I feel like that feels like a big distraction to me. And it just, it feels like a huge, like, again, it's just a big annoyance because you're trying, it's almost like you're trying to focus on the game, right? And then, you know, of course the crowd, you know, because you're part of that, and then that smell lingers.
Well, and I think that's just something that speaks of, you know, the positive change that's taken place over time from students like yourselves who've done these things in the past. But let me just blow your mind with another thought that existed pre you and Ms. Bumpus. I'm not trying to, you know, date you by any means on this point, but imagine flying in an airplane. You're in a locked tube in the sky with very little space anyway, and smoking on an airplane used to be fine.
No.
Oh, yeah. But it was even before my day. That's what I'm saying. I'm not necessarily trying to date Ms. Bumpus over there, but with her being older than me, but like that used to be just a normal thing. The seat in front of you had a little ashtray because you could smoke on an airplane back in the day. Oh, and so goodness. Even me, someone, you know, like I said, that didn't happen in my day, but it just blows my mind still to think about sitting in this locked capsule flying through the sky, you know, that's like the size of a treehouse, and everybody's sitting there smoking together. So think about the change that has happened over time because of, you know, trying to spread the message of the harmful effects. And again, you're always going to have people that do those things, you know, that are the smokers, that are, you know, drug users, alcohol users, or whatever. But the more positive work you can do on the front end to try to help prevent those things, like you guys are at the elementary school, in the high school, you know, and then just as a society as a whole, those messages that we're seeing on commercials, and you know, you don't see people smoking much on TV or movies anymore just because of that point. You know, they're trying to kind of that cessation of trying to reduce the amount of that you see. So that's just, you know, attribute for those people that are doing all these things, you know, kind of shows the work and the progress that's been made.
Yeah, I mean, that, I feel like that certainly puts it in perspective, you know, because I certainly would not want to be stuck on a plane for hours in a very small space. And first off, I don't even know, is that not a safety hazard? Like, you're lighting a stick on a plane, and you know, there's not like the fuel's easily combustible or anything. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I've said before, you know, people argue because, like I said, I smoked back in my day, and it was one of those things to where somebody's like, you know, I've talked to older smokers, and like, yeah, but I didn't know that was bad when I started, you know, when they, and I'm like, really? You didn't know it was bad to light something on fire, stick it in your mouth, and suck on it, and blow smoke out of your mouth? Like, you didn't think that was bad for you? That was my thought. You know, even though I was not necessarily the smartest out there either. And like I said, I would never lie to you guys about that or try to put up a front. I did smoke, and especially socially. You know, that was one of those things. You know, and it was very difficult to quit, which is why I would hammer my kids not to do that. That was always another thing I'd laugh about. I'm like, really? You didn't know that was bad for you? Lighting something on fire, sticking it in your mouth, breathing on it and sucking out, and then blowing smoke. All right.
So, going back to the schools, what are some ways that the policy is enforced?
So, you know, in general, and I think everybody kind of has their own method or whatever, but you know, some of you guys that know me, I mean, my thing is just if you see someone doing, and we regularly announce that too, I feel like that helps, you know, that there's signs posted everywhere, or whoever our announcers are at the game, whether it be football, basketball, baseball, you know, they regularly announce that throughout the game, just as a reminder, just in case some schools are different. You know, not everybody, Ms. Bumpus could probably speak to this, but I don't know how many, you know, districts around us or if everybody does it or not, but you know, we want to, number one, make sure that they understand that that's a policy. And then number two, if you see people that are, you know, my approach is always just to walk up and politely ask them to not do that. You know, sorry, you know, there's no tobacco on campus. You know, it's tobacco-free policy. You know, would you mind not smoking? Or would you put that cigarette out? Would you put your e-cig away? Whatever. And then, you know, you hope that that's enough. You hope that that's going to stop it. And a lot of times, I think, especially if you handle it in a polite way, it is. But you know, you're always going to have the people that want to prove their point too, or it's a free country, or I do what I want, or I'm over 18, or, you know, what, which I think is 21 now. So, but you know, it's just, you have to handle it however you have to handle it. You know, if they make it more of an issue than it has to be, then you have to let it be a bigger issue. And, you know, in my opinion, even if I'm a heavy smoker, you know, there's probably a reason that I'm at that game, either to see my child, grandchild, you know, whatever. And if I'm told that this is the, and you guys can relate to this because just like the mask, right? So you have to wear a mask if you're going to be in school. And if you choose to refuse to wear a mask, that's fine. That's your right, Lily, if you want to do that. But if you don't do that, then you got to go.
Right.
And that's how we try to handle the, you know, the policies that we have with the general public is, you know, we want you to be there. We encourage everybody to come out and be involved. But, you know, there are certain things that we have to do and certain rules that we have to follow. And, you know, we understand that if you don't want to follow that, but if you don't, then you have to leave. And so, you know, we just try to be cordial and welcoming. And like I said, I mean, we want people there. We want the support of the community. We want to interact with the community. But there's just certain ways that we have to go about doing it.
Right. And, you know, I feel like this is something, like, as far as my perspective with the mask, I feel like that's the same way if I'm a smoker at a game. I may hate that I'm not allowed to do it or I have to wear this, but if I feel like I'm going to do it. I'm not going to, from my perspective, I'm not going to sacrifice not being able to come to school or not being able to watch my relatives play their sport.
Yeah, and I think that's where most people understand, you know.
Okay, we've talked a lot about the policy at our campuses of not allowing people to smoke. Mm-hmm. But can I ask what happens at WCHS when students are caught vaping?
Okay, so, you know, and this is, I'll again speak, like you said, directly to WCHS, and other schools may have other policies. A lot of times we'll, you know, talk professional networks to try to especially work together and get things under control. But what we've done is we have a code of conduct, and everybody's familiar with that. Normally you go over it at the beginning of the year. Teachers go over some of the major talking points with you. You know, sign off on them and things like that. So we have a tobacco policy in school that covers everything. You know, it could be traditional, you know, kind of like the dips, the cigarettes. It even includes lighters, you know, as far as like paraphernalia that goes along with tobacco use. And that's a class two. And so I think, now granted, we haven't had a lot of issues going on this year, so I'm having to rack my brain to remember, but I want to say first offense is like 3 to 5 days in our wheel room, which, you know, some schools, depending on who you have listening to your podcast, they may be familiar with things called ICE or isolation or ISS, which is in-school suspension. We call ours the wheel room. And so they would go in the wheel room for their first offense. And one thing that we tried to do while they were in the wheel room, and Mr. Bell was, I think, instrumental in this. I don't know if Ms. Bumpus was when she was there or not, but so the students that do get put back there for a tobacco offense, they have to watch a tobacco cessation lesson out of our online platform called Edgenuity. Some of you guys may be more familiar with that this year because of the virtual schooling. May have some friends doing it, but Edgenuity is just like an online school platform. All kinds of classes. You know, you can build custom classes depending upon what content you want. And so Mr. Bell just built an Edgenuity course, taking like units from a health course, because y'all probably talked about some of those things in your health and PE class as well. And what he did is built a custom course out of Edgenuity, where it talked about tobacco use, the harmful effects, you know, the habits, and, you know, all those types of things. And then what we realized, and honestly, believe it or not, this was feedback from students that got written up on tobacco offenses for vaping or juuling. They're like, this thing doesn't even say anything about vaping or juuling. So from their guidance, we found some articles on the chemical effects and physical effects of vaping. And so that was a Google Classroom assignment that they also had to do in addition to the tobacco cessation. And so that was the first offense. 3 to 5 days, you know, depending upon other behaviors that they've had, that's what would impact those numbers of days. Typically, it's 3 days. And then what we found is kids would, you know, continually get written up for the same thing, get, you know, busted every time, you know, we had reason to believe they had that stuff or we saw them with it. And so what we did is we decided the second year, I did as assistant principal 1 year. So my first year as principal, second year administration, what we decided is we were going to make a better policy. We're going to kind of like a three strike type policy to try to see if we could reduce the amount of instances that we had. And so what we decided to do was keep the first time the same, because you literally had kids doing these courses 5 times in a year. You know, obviously it's not working. You want to think, you know, dream and rainbows and butterflies and all this stuff, but, and they're going to, you know, learn their lesson or, you know, have a change or not. And so obviously that wasn't working. So what we decided to do was keep that as the first offense. You still do the class two, you know, tobacco. You still do the tobacco cessation. You still do the Google Classroom on vaping and e-cig use. But the second offense is going to be more punishment, I guess you'd say, or more severe. And so instead of just taking that 3 days and upping it to 5, because if 3 days in the wheel room didn't do the lesson, 5 days may not do anything better. And then all of a sudden you're looking at they've lost 8 days of instruction in class. And ultimately, again, believe it or not, we want our kids to be in class, you know, to get the education that we want them to get. And so what we decided is after the first offense, if they did it again, then we would suspend them for the day. So they're just out 1 day instead of 5, but it's more severe punishment. And then on the third time, that third strike when you're out was an alt school referral. And so how our alt school works is if you get referred to alt school and the committee that meets and you know, we want to place you in that, the long name is Webster County Alternative Learning Center, then it's a 20-day minimum placement. And so we never had to do that. You know, not one instance the year that we did that. You know, we, and again, I'm not saying that every kid quit after the second time that we caught them, maybe, but it at least did slow down the number of write-ups that we had.
I do like how the policy at Webster County wasn't only just punishment, because I think it's important to also inform students. Absolutely. To
yeah, and that's what we wanted. You know, it's negatives. Also about educating them, right? So if you're never told of the harmful effects of something, especially if it's not something you light on fire and put in your mouth, you may not know how bad it is for you. And that's the biggest thing that I think, and this may be one thing we're going to talk about, so tell me if you don't want to go there yet, but how much worse I feel the e-cig, vaping, juuling, all those things are for kids today than traditional cigarette use is just because of the convenience, you know, the flavors of it,
right,
the potency of it. You know, so like I said, I think we'll talk about that, but let me know when we get to that point. Unless that's now, then we'll go ahead.
Okay. Also, before that, I guess.
Yeah.
Also, this school year is a lot different. Our school's on a hybrid schedule. Yeah. Not all students are at the same time, only 4 days a week in total. Mm-hmm. What do you think the issues with this regarding COVID are different from previous years with the policy and the punishment and the assortment of things?
Yeah. And so I'm hoping that what we're seeing is a reduction in use because they're there less. You know, and if you're only in school 2 days a week, maybe you can go without getting written up for tobacco use, mm-hmm. because maybe for those 2 days that you're there, you're not skipping class and hanging out in the bathroom, hitting an e-cig. But like I said, I feel like the importance of, and I'm not so, like I told you guys when we were talking, I'm not so arrogant or boisterous to say we solved the problem. What I am saying is because we chose to continually seek out to, you know, to find the ones that were doing it. And not because, again, we wanted to punish kids, but because we didn't want that in our school. Because again, I speak to what we want your experience to be like as students of Webster County High School. And I'm not going to speak ill of any other school district around us or in the state or in the country. But what I can tell you is I personally was part of several conversations to where people were like, yeah, we just quit fighting that. Like, we just quit fighting. We're not chasing that. We're not spending all day doing that. And, you know, like, those of you that don't know me, you know, I'm an extremely, extremely competitive person. And I don't care if we're having a sunflower spitting contest. I'm going to win. I'm going to try to win. And if I don't win, I'm going to be mad, at least for a little bit. I still love you, but I ain't going to like getting beat. And so my thing is I see that as accepting defeat as a school. And we weren't willing to do that because we know it's not good for our students. And we know that we're not going to stop our students from doing it. But what we also know is that we can make an impact on what happens at our school during the school day. That is our bread and butter. That's what we are in charge of. And so we just decided, like, we're going to keep taking every tip that we get of who's doing it. We're going to keep, you know, following any signs that we think that tell us, because we don't want the kids doing it. And again, they're going to do it, but we're going to try to reduce the amount that they do it, which again speaks to the dangers that we'll go to shortly. But, you know, we just decided as an administrative team, like, we're not going to stop. We're not going to give up. You know, although we heard, you know, a lot of discussions at the state level, because there's just so much you can do, you know. And ultimately, number one, what you have to realize as administrators is you're not meant to just handle discipline. You're meant to be the instructional leaders in the building that are responsible for the teaching that's going on, which impacts the education that the students are getting. So that's the rainbows and butterflies, you know, the flying unicorns that we want, is we want to be able to focus all of our time and energy as administrators, number one, dealing with and interacting with our students out in the hallways and, you know, again, speaking to that experience, but also going in classrooms and seeing what y'all are doing in class and, you know, watching the lessons that you're getting and taking part. And you know, we try to do that on a regular basis. And like I said, a lot of that stuff gets drowned out when you're dealing with a lot of discipline issues, which is why those issues become more frustrating to us as administrators, because it's keeping us from doing what we should be doing.
Right. And, you know, I think that plus you know, the harsher punishments for e-cigs, you know, not only helps create the importance of avoiding that stuff, but the importance of what you're doing. Like, I feel like you were saying earlier, the more that we can teach those kids about the dangers of e-cigs and the stuff that they are inhaling, the more they're going to be hesitant to stop what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to be doing it near as much.
Hello. Somebody honked at us as they drove by.
So we definitely hinted at the differences between modern smoking technologies mm-hmm. and traditional cigarettes. So what do you think, in terms of at school, is the features that are different between those?
Oh, man. And like I said, we were laughing about this while we were talking before we started, but I don't know of a single time that I was in high school. And, you know, granted, I said I wasn't one in the bathroom smoking just because I knew I was going to get lit up at home if I got caught doing something like that. And for y'all that don't know, lit up at home is not a pleasant experience. Like, that means bad trouble, old school, butt spankings, whatever. And so I don't know of a single time that I ever saw someone smoke a cigarette in class, ever. You know, and you may, now granted, I know, you know, there was some tricks and, you know, maybe while doing some welding in the ag shop or welding at the tech school, you know, you got your little exhaust fans there for you. So that was always a place to, be on the lookout for those things to happen. But I can never one time recall or even recall a story saying that anyone lit up a cigarette in the middle of class. But all of you guys that are sitting here with me in this room right now, how many of you, I'll tell them how many of you raise your hand. How many of you have ever seen someone hit an e-cig in class?
Yep.
100%. 100% ratio, right? So that is what I view as the biggest problem is the how easily concealed it is. You know, and that's just what we were learning and what we were trying to inform our teachers of is what are the signs that students may be doing this in your class? You know, are they raising their arm and putting their arm to the mouth with their sleeve pulled over their hand? That's probably a sign that they've got something, literally goes back to that old phrase, but got something up their sleeve and they're, you know, hitting an e-cig in class because kids can, you know, they would hit that in class and, you know, exhale the vapor, but some of them were so crafty or if they really didn't want to get caught or if they needed to conceal, they just blow it in their shirt or whatever and it doesn't come out. And like we were talking about, nowadays wearing a mask, that even helps you conceal it more.
Right.
So that's my first concern. And so the second concern to that, Miles, is the potency. People don't understand, you know, and I know people personally that use e-cig products, you know, today because they stopped traditional smoking. They don't understand, even adults, how potent those things are. So students definitely don't know, okay? When you take one canister or one little pod, as you guys probably come to know them, for Juuls, you know, and it tells you on the box that that's equivalent to a pack of cigarettes. And so you buy a two pack, that's equivalent, a two pod pack, that's equivalent to two packs of cigarettes. And it's not crazy for a kid to smoke two packs of cigarettes a day. You know, and so especially, and here's another thing that's so awesome too, is people share them. You know, share the putting something in your mouth that someone else has had in their mouth has never been, you know, highly attractive to me either. And so that was another thing. But just the potency of it and, you know, just if you read some horror stories, just kids getting so addicted on nicotine because it's such higher concentrations that they're selling their clothes and their shoes to their high school classmates so they can go buy more. Those things, like, I don't know anyone who ever had such that problem with smoking cigarettes or with dip. You know, so that's what concerns me more is just, again, the ease of doing it, the potency of doing it, and just, again, the impacts and the addiction on their body.
Yeah, definitely the chemicals in vapes and modernized smoking technology are way worse than what we've seen previously. And I think it's important to address how addictive they are. Mm-hmm. As a youth council, we usually have a mini TLC where we start with, I believe, fifth graders in our county. And I've been for 3 years now leading a presentation around vapes and Juuls specifically to fifth mm-hmm. graders. So I think that's great education in the earliest years, even as fifth graders, to start them before they even get the potential to do that so that yeah. they know when they come to the situation, that that addictive thing is not going to be something that they want to be interested in.
Yeah, and so to speak to your point also, it goes the same in the lunch and learns that we used to have. You know, you could get some valuable information too. And we learned about, again, kind of the exact same thing except with marijuana. You know, in a typical joint, the percentage or concentration of THC that's in that versus the amount that's in that, what are those things that we were catching? The marijuana juice.
Dab pens.
Thank you, Lily. Yeah, so that was a thing there for a while going around too. Sorry, I wasn't there. And so just the concentration of the THC in those that was so much greater as the law enforcement told us, you know, I mean, like significantly 20, 30, 40% higher concentration of THC in those dab pens than there was in traditional marijuana use. So again, the modern version of it is much worse, much more addictive on the people that are using them than the traditional. So,
well, Mr. Hankins, I believe we are out of time. I want to thank you so much for coming on. It has been an absolute pleasure having you in here. Yeah. And you have definitely opened my eyes a little bit, especially with the idea of smoking on an airplane, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, thank y'all for having me. Y'all took it pretty easy on me. I don't think you were too hard on me. So I appreciate you guys. And you know, I mean, these are just things, opportunities like this to talk to students. We always enjoy doing that. You know, we're not the big bad bosses of the school that some people like to think. I mean, you know, we're there to have a good time too. And like I said, do our part to make school enjoyable for everyone. So we love Webster County. We love Webster County High School. And, you know, we just appreciate the work that you guys are doing, you know, to make the school and the community a better place. So keep up the good work. And thanks for all that you do.
All right. Absolutely. This has been another episode of Chatter for Change, and we will see you in the next episode.